Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already mid-November, November 14th and 15th. And if you're listening to this on November 14th, of course, we have the Frank Donovan Memorial Road Race. I'm hoping that you will come down to Northeast Delta Dental, 2 Delta Drive, and join us for Frank Donovan Road Race, because I really mean this. Without Frank, probably we wouldn't be partners with the Fisher Cats. We wouldn't. Northeast Delta Dental wouldn't be doing the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race. He really got me into the notion of wellness, getting out in the community. Frank's history was in the newspaper business when it was really thriving. He worked for both the Boston Globe and the Manchester Union Leader, so he always had a retail bent that he taught me and mentored me, and the rest is history. We sponsor so many road races. We're partner with the Fisher Cats and do so much in the community, and of course, our business, insurance, benefits, dental benefits, is becoming more and more retail, because with the economy, with the Affordable Care Act and certain other trends, fewer employers are covering benefits under the employer and asking the employees to go fend for themselves, whether or not they fund it or not. So it's interesting, and that's a big change in our country, because basically employer-sponsored benefits have been embedded really since World War II, when because of wage and price freezes, what companies did to help out the workers was to add benefits. And so historically, benefits have been linked to the employer. More and more, though, individuals are buying the products. And so, you know, doing things like the Oral Health Challenge at Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, partnering with the Fisher Cats, creating DeltaDentalCoversMe.com's website so individuals can purchase it, just makes sense. So with that as a segue, my guest this weekend is Tom Garthier from the Fisher Cats. We really want to talk about the next weekend's baseball dinner, Tom, but let's start off with the season. It seemed that you had a lot of fun announcing. So tell us how you got involved with being a baseball game announcer, and then and any advice for someone, a young person that, although you're very young yourself, who might be interested in doing that as a career.
Well, Tom, first of all, thanks for having us on here again. It's great to see you in the off season as opposed to in season, when we see each other frequently during the year at the ballpark. But my story is a very simple one, and I'm sure that a lot of sportscasters have the same sort of bent to their tail. It's that we just weren't good enough to actually play the games ourselves. We wanted to play sports and be athletes and pros and be the guys like Tom Brady or Pedro Martinez and be in the spotlight. But unfortunately, our abilities came somewhere else. And so I was told at a not a young age, but as a eighth grader, I think it was, that, hey, maybe you should look into broadcasting. And that was really sort of the catalyst that I had to get into the industry and to get into broadcasting. And I went to school for it, started broadcasting a variety of games, all with the intent of getting into baseball, and was finally lucky through some networking to do that in 2008. And the rest is history. I've been doing it since then, and certainly a job that I enjoy doing.
And you can tell you enjoy it. I know what Tom's alluding to is every couple weeks or so, when I'm at the Northeast Delta Dental Stadium, I'll pop into like inning, half inning, and the second or third inning. And Tom is gracious enough, and Bob Lippman as well, to let me talk about health, rural wellness, and Delta Dental related stuff. But also occasionally, I'm talking too much, so I have to actually call a pitch. But you can basically tell that you have a lot of passion for what you're doing. And I guess my advice for anybody, regardless of whether you want to be an announcer, whether you want to be an insurance executive, whether you want to be a baseball player, you have to have passion for what you do, and it certainly resonates the way you call a game. And also, you're very accurate too, which I think sometimes we don't always get with some announcers.
But. Yeah, and you know, it's we're fortunate to have radio, so it makes us seem like we're a lot more accurate than we may be sometimes, because who's going to tell us otherwise? But, you know, you go back to the passion part of it, and something that I've enjoyed since, you know, baseball, it was my first sport, the first sport that I truly enjoyed as a young kid. My dad got me into it, and, you know, his dad before him, et cetera, down the line. And so being passionate about it, because it's not an industry where everybody makes $10 million like some of the big leaguers do. You're not a Mike Trout making $25 million at the age of 25 years old. You know, it really is an industry of passion. And we see that a lot with the players, guys at the minor league levels that are making $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a month, when in reality, the big leaguers, they get $2,000 or $3,000 per game on a minimum. So it's an industry of passion. And I think from the broadcasters to front office workers, you have to really love it because you get long hours and it's tough work, and it can be, getting these jobs can be hard to do, but once you have them, you know, you can really reap the rewards of them.
Super. Well, you do a great job. I really enjoy listening to you and also occasionally participating with you. Now, of course, the season never ends for your team at New Hampshire Fisher Cats, because as soon as the season ends, then you're putting the finishing touches on the Granite State Baseball Dinner, and people don't realize, but essentially to put on an event such as the Granite State Baseball Dinner, which is coming up next weekend, Saturday, November 21st, that's really a year-long planning process, because in addition to trying to make sure that it gets sold out, we also try to get as many sponsorships as possible, because of course the primary benefactor is Children's Hospital at Dartmouth, Hitchcock or Chubb, but also the Ted Williams Foundation. So let's just start with the basics. If I'm listening to this and I want to buy an individual ticket, how would I do that? I mean, I'm listening to this on the 14th, so is there still time to purchase individual tickets?
Yeah, there are still tickets available. We'll sell tickets right up until the hour of the event starts, or it's sold out, whatever comes first. And generally, last couple of years, we've had some available on the actual event, on the day of the event, which is Saturday the 21st. Other times, I know a couple of years ago, we were actually sold out at about 11 a.m. on Friday before the event. So you can still get a few tickets that are available now. You're going to be seated towards the back of the room, but if you've ever been in the Radisson Expo Center, it's a nice big open room. You're not going to be you know, lacking a view or anything, or obstructed or anything like that. So you'll be able to get in there, enjoy the dinner, and then we always tell people to get there early on Saturday, because the 5 to 7 window when you can get your autographs, that's the window that a lot of people go for. Yeah, it all raises money for Chad, but if you're a big fan of Chris Carpenter or Jackie Bradley Jr. fan, that's the time where you have the direct one-on-one access with those guys to get some autographs and to say hello and you know, do things like that. So we always tell folks to get there early, but you can still get tickets, and the easiest way to do that is just go to our website, nhfishercats.com. The website's 24/7, like everybody's site is. You can buy them right on there, and you can find out the full list of guests. You can see some of the auction items that we have coming up for the dinner, and a brief rundown of the history of the event, which is at almost 1.3 million donated since 2007.
That's awesome. And again, this is at the Radisson Hotel Expo Center, and right down in downtown Manchester, where that was where we went to register for the Manchester Half Marathon last weekend, which went 2 weekends ago, which went really well. So again, Saturday, November 21st. So the autograph session is really cool, because even though it looks like the lines move really fast and everybody seems to be able to get their autographs the way they want.
Yeah, and with the nature of this event, because it's I think it's we've officially, unofficially, or unofficially, officially declared the largest fundraising dinner of its kind in New Hampshire, and probably the largest that's involved in minor league baseball. We have some 1,100 guests on average come to this. Our sellout number is 1,200 in terms of the number of tables and seats that we actually have. So 1,200 people going through a line, you need a lot of guests to be sure that everybody walks out of there with an autograph. But very rarely, and I can't think of any that it's happened since I've been involved in this for 4 or 5 years now, where you do the dinner and somebody says, I wanted this guy's autograph and I couldn't get it. Most of the time, if you're there at 5 and you wait in all the lines and you plan it strategically, you can get everybody that you want to get, or at least get everybody that's there. But 22 guests is what we're going to have this year. You know, so it's 6 different tables. You can go through one line, go to the next line, and while you're there, you can bounce around too. Say, hey, you know what? Carpenter's line's a little bit long. I'm going to go to this line right now, and then go back to Chris's towards the end of that 2-hour window. But more than likely, you'll be able to get everybody that you want to get when you get there that day.
And in general, all the celebrity guests are very polite, and I also have to say the patrons are really polite. I mean, because the lines, you know, move very nicely, and we're able to start the program dinner at 7 o'clock. The speeches are short but necessary, and but it's just a great combination of, if you're a baseball fanatic, of seeing some of your childhood heroes while also knowing that your dollars are going to Chad. Now, you mentioned the New Hampshire Fisher Cats have really been running the Granite State Baseball Dinner since 2008. It's been around for decades. I remember when I was a little kid, it was then called the New Hampshire Baseball Dinner. It was probably one of the most famous baseball dinners in the country, and then it kind of went into a period, a dormancy period, and then really the Fisher Cats really rejuvenated, and basically really since November of 2008, you've had between 1,000 and 1,200 people attend every year, and as you mentioned, you've raised about $1.3 million.
Yeah, it's $1.3 million, or $1.28 since 2007, so that doesn't count all the great work that was done before we got involved with it, but in 2007, it was January of 2007, we held the first event, did it again in 2008, January, and then we moved it to a November event. A lot of people do, you know, hot stove dinners in January, right before the guys go back to spring training, but we moved it to that Thanksgiving weekend, or the weekend before Thanksgiving, and it's really been a big success, and certainly we have sponsors like Northeast Delta Dental, our presenting sponsor once again. All of the other probably 150 to 200 sponsors of some variety, whether it's a cash donation, whether it's a providing tickets for a nonprofit organization and kids to come to the dinner, or whether it's folks providing a live auction or a silent auction item. Without those folks, it certainly would be impossible to generate the type of revenue that we've been able to generate with this. And of course, over 1,000 fans every year, and they run the gamut from insurance executives that want to come out with their companies and want to enjoy it and do that, to folks that just come out wearing baseball jerseys of their favorite players that just want to get autographs, and collectors like that want to get autographs and meet some of these players. So it really runs the gamut from every type of fan you can imagine. And over 1,100 people, you're going to see that no matter what.
So before we go to commercial break, let's get the contact information out again.
Yeah, it's nhfishercats.com. Tickets are $80 each. And as we mentioned before, all the proceeds, 100% of the proceeds from this go to CHAD, the Fisher Cats Foundation, and the Ted Williams Foundation. And it's right around usually $150,000 back to the charities after all the expenses every year.
Super. And again, that's next weekend, Saturday, November 21st. Autograph sessions begin at 5 o'clock. Program begins at 7 p.m. Do a little radio tease. Amongst the guests will be El Teonte and, of course, Cecil Fielder and Chris Carpenter. We'll return with Tom Gauthier after commercial break. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio, and with me this weekend is Tom Gauthier of the Fisher Cats. It's hard to believe that it's already Saturday, November 14th, and Sunday, November 15th, depending on when you're listening to this. And again, just a little plug for my running friends. If you're listening to this on Saturday the 14th, there's still time to come over to Delta in Concord and run the Frank Donovan Memorial 5K Road Race, and because it starts at 10, so we can get you registered up at as late as 9:45. And again, without Frank Donovan, I really don't think I would be involved as much in the community. He really taught me the importance of getting involved with the community, doing sponsorships, having partnerships like the New Hampshire Fisher Cats. He was the one, again, that got me involved with what is now known as the Northeast Delta Dental Mount Washington Road Race, as well as the Bill Lutey five-miler, and of course helping me establish, along with Tom Walton and Perry Seagroves, the Capital of the Race Series. But this weekend we're going to be talking about baseball, so with me is Tom Gauthier from the Fisher Cats. And so we started to talk about some of the guests, and I know last year El Teonte was a huge hit. I think he, you know, brought tears to everybody's eyes. I know he's such a man of quality. You know, his wife was there and so forth. And one of my goals is, I don't know, I probably can't do much about it, but I really think that El Teonte should be in the Hall of Fame. He was at least as good as Catfish Hunter's in the Hall of Fame, but the one thing he didn't have, of course, was the World Series championships the way the Catfish had. But basically, if you think of it, one year with the Cleveland Indians, he had a 1.56 earned run average. That was the year of the pitcher in 1968. But also with the Red Sox, he had a 1.91 earned run average. And I always remembered that anytime the Red Sox in the late 70s had a mini losing streak, Louis would always break the losing streak. And although they never, of course, won the World Series, they were always extremely competitive. So who else, Tom, will be on our guest list?
Well, you mentioned Louis Tiant, and as you mentioned, Tom, one of the characters of last year's dinner. It seems that every year we have at least one guy that stands out and really kind of takes home that fan favorite, whether it was that way going into it or whether it was that way because of his his presentation, if you will, during the dinner. Wade Boggs was a huge hit a couple of years ago before Fielder. Fielder was big last year. Denny McClain was big the last couple of years as well. But this year, a lot of new faces, actually. We'll have Chris Carpenter, of course. He's not a new face. He's Mr. New Hampshire Baseball. He's been retired for a couple of years now. And talk about a guy that gives back to the community. Just a couple of weeks ago now, he was in Bedford showing up at a Little League complex that was vandalized in Bedford. Folks had gone in there and torn apart the concession stands, and Chris was there donating his time and efforts to help them raise some money for that. And then he also did an event with Charlie Sherman a couple of weeks ago, signing autographs personalized for people that were helping to raise money and give donations to New Horizons. So Carpenter's going to be there. Jackie Bradley Jr., who had maybe the best month of August out of anybody in the major league, certainly for a Red Sox team that played better in August, he had one of his best months as a pro. He's going to be there and certainly ready to make his case for a starting center field job next year and maybe an all-star berth. Who knows? Cecil Fielder will be back again, one of the biggest home run hitters from the early 90s. In fact, I remember the first game I ever went to, Cecil Fielder was there with the Tigers as they played the Red Sox at Fenway Park, probably in 1990 or 91, one of his 50 home run seasons.
And this was pre-steroid era, too.
So yeah, there's no steroids on
right,
Cecil Fielder.
I mean, Cecil Fielder and Jim Rice, those were legitimate home runs. Now, who's bigger, Cecil or his son?
I think Cecil probably is now, only for the fact that he's not in his playing shape anymore. But I bet you if you were to look back at their primes, they were probably pretty similar body types from what Prince is now. And, Prince and even his dad, to a certain extent, they get a lot of grief for being bigger guys. But if you look at the number of games that they played a lot of games every year, year in and year out. Prince Fielder, going into that deal that he signed with the Tigers in the first couple of years, he'd only missed like one or two games a year. So despite being a big guy, very durable in terms of their playing ability.
Yeah, it seemed like in those days of in Cecil's era that there were less of the sort of nagging, hamstring injuries.
Sure, and obliques.
And obliques, yeah, and rotator cuffs and so forth. So we have Rich Gedman as well.
Yeah, Rich Gedman's going to be there. Bob Stanley's going to be there. A couple of former Red Sox. We've just added Skip Lockwood as well. Lockwood played with the Red Sox for a little bit. I think it was the 1980 Red Sox team. I'd have to go back and look at the numbers, but he was teammates with Steamer and with Gedman there. Chris Colabello, who really made a name for himself this year in the major leagues and is such a tremendous story, a guy that played independent ball for 7 years, finally got a chance with the Twins in the minor leagues, and then later on that very same year was in the big leagues and is now with the Blue Jays and had a starring role for them as they made it all the way to to Game 6 of the ALCS. Dante Bichette's going to be there. And then maybe, outside of Tion, one of the more popular guests from last year, maybe the most popular, Victoria Arlen. She's an Exeter native, won the gold medal in freestyle in the 2012 Paralympic Games, was a young girl that fell into a coma for 3.5 years as a kid, came out of the coma, started swimming again, and a couple of years later, she's on the Olympic podium in London. At the Paralympic Games, just a tremendous story and was really a great presence at the dinner last year. Folks absolutely loved her while she was there. Taylor Cole's going to be back here, was a Fisher Cat this year. He's going to be coming back and a guy that really gave back a lot during the season. And then we have a lot of New Hampshire kids coming up.
Like Derek Sylvester.
Derek Sylvester is a New Hampshire kid. Michael Francoso is a New Hampshire kid. A kid that we added just a couple of weeks ago, Nashua North product, Kevin McGowan Jr. He's going to be there as well. So it's going to be a good mix of big leaguers, former big leaguers, and then guys that we hope to see in the big leagues here soon.
Now, in Derek's case, Sylvester, I know his dad, so he actually averaged a strikeout per inning with the first full season with the Dodgers organization.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that he did that you really jump out of the page when you look at what Derek has done so far. Some of the other numbers may not be great yet, but when you get a lot of strikeouts like that, really gives you a chance to earn a good role in the bullpen, and that's what he did last year in 2014 was outstanding. This year they started him quite a bit just to try to build up that repertoire and the versatility, but I would imagine if he continues like he has been, he'll probably be a guy that you could see in the bullpen for a Dodgers team that probably needs it down the road in a few years.
And as I say, you can't teach speed and you can't teach arm speed as well. So
is 100% purely physical gifts.
And you mentioned Skip Lockwood, and what people don't realize is he actually had an earned run average as a career of 3.5, which is really terrific these days anyway.
Yeah, it's funny because he's a guy that played for quite a few teams too. You look at Bob Stanley, played his whole career with the Red Sox, but then Skip Lockwood went from the Seattle Pilots. He played on that very first Pilots team, and then they moved to Milwaukee. He was with the Angels, the Mets, the Red Sox. A guy that just bounced around a little bit, had some stints with different teams, but if you just keep throwing the ball well, 13 years in the big leagues, and he's got himself a nice little pension now.
Wow, who would have ever thought you would have mentioned the Seattle Pilots, which then became the Milwaukee Brewers.
After 1 year, how about
After 1 year, and it was the subject of a great book. You got to Google this by Jim Bowden, but Ball 4, it was called.
Great book.
And it had to do with the sort of the baseball behind the scenes. Of course, reading it now is relatively tame, but when it came out, you know, in 69, it was very controversial because it really got into inside baseball and a lot of the charades, you know, Mickey Mantle and whatever, all the nightlife that people were doing and so forth.
And he was one of those guys that was ostracized for writing that book because it was essentially clubhouse secrets that he was letting out of the bag. And now it happens soon as somebody retires, they're writing a book.
That, and of course, with Twitter and everything else, they're actually getting it real time. People forget, too, that Jim Bouton, actually, before he turned to the knuckleball when his arm went dead, he actually had won like 21 games with the Yankees and was a really, really good pitcher when he was a younger man. So let's get back to the basics. So it's Saturday, November 21st. It's at the Radisson Expo Center. The autographs begin at 5. So let's get the contact information out as well.
Yeah, nhfishercats.com. It's the easiest way to do it. You can give us a call if you wanted to, 641-2005. But just going online to our website, nhfishercats.com, there's plenty of advertising on the website for the dinner. You'll certainly be able to find some place to click on it that says baseball dinner, whether it's on a picture of Jackie Bradley Jr. or Carpenter, Fielder, Tiant, you name it. You'll be able to find the information there. Click on that and get your tickets at nhfishercats.com.
Now, if I'm a fellow CEO listening to this and if I wanted to purchase a table for my employee colleagues or do some other sponsorship, are those still available?
Yes, they are. We have just a few left. We have more at this point, full tables. You know, if you do want to sponsor it, you can purchase the full table or you can purchase a full table for us to give to a nonprofit or some, you know, little league teams or things like that. Kids that'll really want to come out and maybe start building their autograph collection, you can just get in touch with me at the ballpark. You don't get all the perks of getting in the program. That's obviously already gone to print, and we'll probably have those in the office here in the next couple of days, but we'll certainly be able to get you the tickets and the recognition with some of the other stuff that didn't have to have deadlines from a couple of weeks ago. But absolutely, just give our go to our website, find my information there, or just give us a call again at 641-2005.
And what's great about this is a great combination. If you're a baseball fanatic like myself, you just want to be there. But beyond that, it's raising money for Chad as well as the Ted Williams Foundation. Why don't you talk a little bit about the Fisher Cats Foundation? Because, of course, once the Fisher Cats Foundation got involved, it's really been a catalyst for the baseball dinner. But the Fisher Cats Foundation does a lot more as well, I think, in terms of in-kind and other donations to the community. Since its inception in 2006, it's probably given away to the community, invested in the community about at least $4 million.
Yeah, it's just over $4 million, and the dinner is a big part of that as well. And you know, we're able to take the proceeds from the dinner, and we turn that into scholarships every year. We do over $30,000 in scholarships. First and foremost, you take that right off the top from anything we get from the baseball dinner. A big portion of that goes to the scholarships every year for a dozen. And in this last year, 13 high school seniors that are scholar athletes, good in the community, good in the classroom, good in the athletic fields, that are going off to a two-year or four-year college. We provide scholarships for them. We've been doing that since 2007, I believe. But it all goes back to our owner, Art Solomon. When he bought the team in 2005, first and foremost, that was his number one thing, was that he wanted to get involved in the community and wanted to make this more than just a place where people come down, give us their money, go home, and never hear from us again. And obviously, with $4 million donated in whether it's cash or in-kind donations to nonprofits or if it's through our fundraising program, a lot of people have been reached by the foundation, and it was all really at Art's vision there in 2006, one of the first things that he did really after purchasing the team. So it's involved. The scholarships are a big part of it. We do a reading challenge every year where we're in schools and 60,000 bookmarks out to kids. So there's a lot that goes into what this foundation does.
Got to give the props to Art, because that's why we want to be a partner with the Fisher Cats, because obviously this whole education component, and of course our oral health challenge was modeled after the reading challenge.
Sure.
So the only thing more important than reading, I think, is making sure kids brush and floss. So that was great. And the Fisher Cats do so much more. I mean, we had the Wounded Warriors there, and Greg, who is one of the chief Wounded Warriors in the softball team, we actually had come out to Northeast Delta Dental and gave a really inspirational speech, you know, to our employees. And it was just terrific. So I just want to thank you, Tom, for all your great work. Again, the specifics on the baseball dinner, Saturday, November 21st. Autographs begin at 5 o'clock. It's at the Radisson Hotel. Give us the website one more time.
NHFisherCats.com, and tickets are $80 each and available right now, and we'll have them available as long as we have them to sell between now and the event on Saturday.
Super. So we'll see everybody next week at the Radisson. Tom Raffio and Tom Gauthier will return next week.